Okay, we're on the Gemara of Yud Dalet Omed Aleph. We're on the wide lines, and we're on the seventh wide line. The first word on the line is Ligdula. Ligdula, if you remember, we learned that Rabbi Loza initially he tried to hide. He did not want smicha, but then he was told, no, it's a very positive thing. When you're oile legdula, you have mechilas avoinais, and therefore he came out of hiding and he was happy to receive smicha. Okay, very interesting Gemara coming up now. Says the Gemara, ki, towards the end of the line, the third last word on the line, ki samchuhu l'Reb Zeira. When they gave smicha to Reb Zeira, sharu le, which I'm assuming means they sang for him. A special song of smicha. What do they sing? So they sounded what sounds like a very, very peculiar song. You'd expect them to sing some Simchas Torah song, Torah Hashem Tamima. No. What was the song? Sharu Lehochi. They sang as follows, and they said, Loi Kachal. Kachal is actually eyeliner that a woman would put on her eyes. Loi kachal, no eyeliner. Loi sirak. Sirak is a makeup for the face. Loi pirkus. Pirkus is something that you put some gel in the hair. V'ya'alas chein. And nevertheless, there is chein. Now what on earth has this got to do with smicha? If you would tell this to a woman, then it would be a compliment. If you would tell a woman that, you know, even without any makeup, without any eyeliner, but she nonetheless has chein, so clearly that's a compliment. Because you're telling her that she doesn't need all those external, artificial beautifications. She has that chein anyway. So no makeup and no eyeliner and no gel, and nonetheless she has chein. Sheker achein ve'evela yefi. Fine. But what's that got to do with giving a Talmud Chacham smicha? So Rashi, look at Rashi. Kechal, Rashi says one word, le'inayim. Kechal is for the eyes. Sirak is leponim, for the face. And pirkus is the seyar, for the hair. So there's all different type of makeup, et cetera, for the face, the eyes, the hair. So why is he singing this? Shir hu lekala noe. This is a song for a beautiful kala. Shema alas chein, who has that chein beloy kishut, even without any adornments. With the obvious question being, okay, wonderful. So that's an appropriate song for a kala to sing at a chasna. If you want to sing at a chasna that the kala doesn't need any makeup, etc., etc., and she still has chein, that's a very, very special compliment. What's that got to do with giving smicha? So, Rabbi Yosef, did the art scroll point out anything? I'm sure they do. For a Talmud Chacham, why is this considered a compliment?
When they said this about Rabbi Zera, they meant that although he dressed modestly, unadorned by fine clothing, his fine character adorned him, which is a comment by the Yad Ramah.
The Yad Ramah is one of the great Rishonim in Sanhedrin. So he's taking the Moshel very literally. Just like you'd compliment a woman on, as it were, not needing external makeup, so to Reb Zeira, who was dressed in a very modern way, nonetheless, he looked very mechubad. His Torah spoke for himself. Okay, very interesting. An interesting choice of song. Okay, we have another example now. Says the Gemara, Ki samchua l'Rebbe Ami u'l'Rav Asi. When they ordained Rav Ami and Rav Asi, they also sang a song. Sharu lehu hachi. They sang lehu. Lehu means plural, obviously. For them, they sang for them the following song. Now this is really more cryptic. Kol mindain, kol mindain, smuchu lono. Translated, kol mindain means all like these. All like these, smuchu lono, can have smicha. Look immediately at Rashi before we continue. Kol mindein, kol kemoy eile. All like these great Amoraim, Rav Ami, Rav Asi. Ukeyetze bohen, and anybody similar to them, hayu smuchim lanu. What does that mean? They were smuchim lanu. Sheruuyim heim l'smicha. They're appropriate. In other words, clearly this was a compliment. Ah, Rav Amir, Rav Asi, halavai, all people like him should have smicha. So now let's look back in the Gemara. That was the positive side. What was the negative side? Says the Gemara, however, part of the song was, but loy sismuchu lanu. But we, however, do not want to give smicha to. We do want to give smicha to those like Rav Ami, Rav Asi. So clearly that was a great compliment. They were saying, ah, halavai, everyone should be like you. Those are the types of people that we would like to give smicha to. But we do not want to give smicha to who? This is very cryptic. Loi sismachalona. We do not want to give smicha. Loi. Mesarmitin, veloy mesarmisin, or va'omri la, some have a different text, and it goes, loy machmisin, veloy meturmisin. So all those words are clearly very, very difficult to translate. So Baruch Hashem, our Rebbe Rashi is right here. Look at Rashi. So we have four words that we're trying to translate. Mesarmitin, Mesarmisin, Machmisin, and Meturmisin. And we're going to see one of them, Rashi tells us, he does not know how to translate. So says Rashi, Sarmisin, Loshoin, Hafchonim. It's a Loshon of Hafchonim, people who turn over. What does that mean, they turn over? What do they turn over? K'moy saris es hamikra, like people who move around the pasuk, they turn over the pasuk, misayfei l'roshi, from the end to the beginning. Shemahapchin es ta'amei toiro. There are some people, I don't know, revisionists or reformists, who are mahapchin, they convert, they turn over the reasons behind the Torah. In other words, they were saying, this is part of the song, that we would not want to give smicha to people who, what's the word I'm looking for? They pervert. They pervert the Tamei HaTorah. We have reasons of the Torah and understanding of the Torah as delivered to us by our Rebbeim. And those who are hafchonim, those who pervert them, and they turn right to left and left to right, so those are not the types of people that we'd want to give smicha to, however knowledgeable or non-knowledgeable they may be. That's one type. Next one, says Rashi, sar mitin. What's a sar mitin? Says Rashi, chamsonim. Sorry, loshen smartut. A smartut, literally translation of a smartut, is like a shmata, a rag. So what does it mean? We would not want to give smicha to somebody who's like a rag, says Rashi. Kloimar, she'ein noisnim tam hogun ledivrehem. To those who do not give appropriate reasons to their words. They may well be tamidei chachamim, but they're not glat. Not glat means they're not pure, straight in their logic. Similar to the first non-compliment. The first one was to my people who pervert the meaning of the pasuk, and now to my people who pervert meaning of their own words. They say things without pure logic, without pure das Torah. So those also are types of people we would not want to give smicha to. Says Rashi, the third category, chamisin, chamsonim. Chamsonim, right from the word chamos, chamos literally means robbers. They steal. What does it mean they steal? It doesn't mean they steal banks. Rather, shemoin in, they refrain from explaining themselves. So this is not the same as what we said before. Before we're talking about people who give reasoning, but the reasoning is...
We can't hear you. Your sound suddenly cut off. We can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I'm not sure what happened. So chamos, from the lashon of stealing, what are they stealing? It means they're not sharing the reasoning. This is the way it is, and they're not explaining anything. Now the fourth and final category, fascinatingly, Rashi says, turmisin loy isparesh. I have no explanation. Rashi is honest enough to say, I'm curious, do art scrolls suggest any explanation, any translation here on the fourth category?
Yeah, they put the lupins, and then in the notes, Yad Ramah suggests that it refers to embittered people who are as bitter as lupins, which is a variety of bitter vegetable.
And do they point out that Rashi tells us that we have no...
Yes, he says, Rashi writes that the meaning of lupins in this context remains unexplained.
Right. Because these lupins, as you mentioned, turmisin, we're definitely familiar with the word turmisin. We have turmisin in other areas of Gemara. It's a type of vegetable, a bitter vegetable. But what on earth has that got to do with our context? So you're saying from the Yad Ramah, that's what Rashi means, lo yisparish. Not that Rashi doesn't know how to translate the word. He does, but he doesn't know how that translation has any connection to what we're talking about. But the Yad Ramah talks about, says what? The people are bitter like vegetables who are bitter. Okay, so they don't have good middos. Finally, says the Gemara, back in the Gemara, Rebavohu, now this is essentially not really related to what we were learning till now. We were learning till now various compliments of Talmidei Chachamim who got smicha. This is also a compliment of a Talmid Chacham, but nothing to do with smicha. Rebavohu, ki ava osi, when he would come mimasifta, mimasifta means from the yeshiva, lebei kesar, if he would ever go to the house of the kesar, of the Caesar. So if Rebavohu had to leave the yeshiva and for whatever reason engage in discussion with the ruler, the Caesar, and he used to come to the palace. Nofki matronisa, a matron or a princess, would exit the palace to meet him and she would compliment him. And what would she say about him? Nofki matronisa de Bekesa, a matron or a... I don't know, do they have a better translation of that in the art scroll, Rabbi Yosef?
No, it's exactly the word they use. Same right. Word, matron.
Or a matron, okay. So somebody from the Beit Kesar, from the house of the Melech, would exit to meet Rebavohu and listen to how she would praise lavishly Rebavohu. And she would say the following, Umasharian lay, and she would sing for him and compliment him. Rabo da'ame. Rabo obviously means the Rav. You are the Rav of Ame, of his nation. You are the leader of your generation, or of your nation. Madbarno de umse. Rashi explains, translates, Madbarno means he was the manhig. Not only was he the Nossi, but he was the manhig. He was the ruler, the umsei, like the word umma, of his, again, of his nation. Butsina denahoira. I think it means he is a tower of light. Is that how they translate it?
Radiant as a lit candle.
Radiant as a candle. Borich Messiah L'Shalom, like Shalom Aleichem, Bruchem Aboim. So look at Rashi. Rabo Da'ame, Nossi Ba'amov. He was a Nossi in his nation. Madbarno, he was a manhig. Al Shem Shoyot Paranois, the Korav L'Malchus, he was very close to the king, so he really ruled the nation. Butsina de Nahara al Shem Shayo Godoil Bonui. He was of tall stature, clearly very handsome. Kedomrinon Bahasoicha es Apoelim, as it says in Bog Metzia, Shufrei Derbavo. The beauty of Rabavo was Me'ein Shufrei Derbi Yechanan, was similar to the beauty of Rabbi Yechanan. So clearly, Rabavo, of tall stature, was considered to be very, very handsome. And that's why this matron of the Beit Kesar complimented him not only on his leadership, but also on his the way he appeared and said to him, Baruch Messiah L'Sholim. Okay, so that's the end of the sugya. So we slightly veered off to different compliments for Talmidei Chachamim. We now begin, Meirav Rabbeisai, a brand new topic, totally unrelated to what we said before. Back in the Mishnah, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, we saw we were busy until this stage with smicha of zakenim. We mentioned two different types of smicha, either smicha when they rest their hands on the korban, the par herandova, or smicha when they're ordaining talmidim. But the Mishnah there also discussed another case, which is egla arufa. Nothing to do with what we've been discussing until now. The only connection is, of course, who is the one who carries out the process of Egla Arufa, once again, it is the Zakenim, which particular Zakenim we're about to see in a moment. Now, let's just remind ourselves briefly of the process of Egla Arufa, because this is going to be discussed in the Gemara. We're talking about somebody who was found dead outside the town. If he was found dead in the town, that's not to do with Egla Rufa. We know clearly who's responsible, etc., etc. But he was found dead outside of the town. The elders of the neighboring town, and we'll see how many elders, have to go out and measure the distance between this dead body and the nearest town, because it may not be clear. We'll see later what happens if it is clear. But we have to ascertain which city is the closest city to where this dead body is to be found. Once we ascertain that, then we consider, as it were, that particular town perhaps to be responsible. If this dead body was found near your city, then maybe you had something to do with his death. Maybe he visited your town, and when he left, you didn't give him food and you didn't accompany him. So that's when they take this Egla Arufa, they take it down to the river, and they break the neck of the Egla Arufa. And the Beis Din declare that we wash our hands of all responsibility. We have nothing to do with it. We are not guilty of not accompanying him or not feeding him. And that way we are absolved of responsibility. That basically is the parasha of Egla Arufa. What's relevant to us is it's carried out by the Zakenim. And the big question is, how many Zakenim? So if you look in our original mission of Beis Amud Aleph, it brings a machlokes. Some say 3 dayonim, some say 5 dayonim. And that's what we're going to discuss. Says the Gemara, first word on the line. Rav Alex, you have it? About 10 lines from the bottom. Arifas.
Yeah, I'm egla.
There. Yeah, you got it?
Yep, thank you.
Okay, Arifas Egla Bishloisha. It's the first 3 word on the line. Arifas Egla. By the way, what does the word Arifa mean? Arifa, oiref, is normally a terminology which means the back of the neck. The Jewish people are described as an amkshe oiref, being stiff-necked. Oiref is the neck. I think in this question, Alex, you speak Hebrew?
Yeah.
You can be demuted, don't worry. It's only a Mishkafai.
I speak Hebrew, yeah.
Okay, so the word Oref, you'll be familiar in Ivrit, there's something called a Pikud Ha'oref. Nachon, yes, Pikud Ha'oref?
Right.
How would you translate in English Pikud Ha'oref?
I actually just got the exact translation recently. It's like the back.
Right. Again, it's the neck. It's yeah. Actually, it's like the national front. It's a protection. If Chas V'Shalom, yeah. There would be an invasion of the enemy, if Chas V'Shalom, there would be an air raid siren, who would be responsible? It was Pikud Ha'oref, the neck, the protection of the neck. I'll call upon him. Oref means the neck. So the reason why Arifas Egla Arufo, Arifa, because of course, as we said before, that's the whole process of going to break the neck of this calf. Says the Gemara, Arifas Egla Bishloisha. It's got to be done with three. That's one opinion. There's a second opinion. It's got to be done with five. Tana Rabbanan. So we learn in a Braisa, it quotes the Pasuk, which is in Parshas Shoftim, which teaches us the details of Egla Rufa. V'yotsu zekeinecho v'shoftecho. Literally translated, and the zekeinim, plural, they will go out, v'shoftecho, and also the judges. So the Gemara says, this is now quoting Rabbi Yehuda, zekeinecho shtayim. Zekeinecho means your elders, plural, that's two. Shoftecho, quote unquote, is another shnayim. So it's two and two, up to four. So we apply the old rule, ve'ein bezdin shokol. You cannot have an equal number of bezdin. Moisifin alein oid echot. Therefore, you add one more and you get to five. Harikan chamisha. That's how you get to the magic number five. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Reb Shimon disagrees. Reb Shimon says you don't need five, you only need three. Reb Shimon oimer zekeinecho shnayim. Yes, I agree with you. But that first word, zekeinecho, written in the plural, means two. But he stops there. You leave it at two. Ve'ein bezdin shokol. You can't have an even number. Meisifim aleim oid echod. You add one more. Harikan shloisha, and you have three. So what's the obvious question? Now the tennis match begins. So what does Rav Shimon do with the word shoftecho? If you agree that zekeinecho means two, then surely Rav Yehuda should be right. Shoftecho also means two, so it's not two, it's four. Says the Gemara, v'Rav Shimon, hi, this particular word of shoftecho, quote unquote, my ovidlei, what does he do with that word? Can't just ignore it. It does at the end of the day say shoftecho. Doesn't that mean you've got to have another two? Says the Gemara, hahu, that particular word, miboyele, he requires for a different drasha. He requires lemiyuchodin sheba shoftecho. What does that mean, miyuchodin? If it would just say zekeinecho, your elders, which ones? Any ones. So the Torah has to add the word shoftecho. It's got to be miyuchodin, the special ones, the special elders. Therefore, this word is not spare. Look at Rashi. Miyuchodin sheba shoftecho, sheyu mizikney sanhedre gedoilo. They've got to be the elders, not only of any old bezdin, but of the senior main prime bezdin. So the extra word shoftecho is not available for a drasha. Rather, it's here to teach me that it's got to be which zakenim, the elders of the senior bezdin. Okay, now the ball gets thrown back to Rabbi Yehuda's court. So what about Rabbi Yehuda? So how can Rabbi Yehuda learn that shoftecho, zakenecho are both available for drashas? Don't we need one of those words to teach me that, no, they've got to be the special elders? So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, there's a double drasha anyway. Mi ziknei zekeinecho. If it just wanted to teach me that it's got to be the special elders, it could have written mi ziknei. Why does it have to say Zikei Necho? That's an extra Joshua to tell me another two Dayanim, and that's how we get to the number five. So what about Rav Shimon? Now let's go back to Rav Shimon. So Rav Shimon says, no, I'm sorry. It could not possibly have written me Zikne. You're telling me it could have written me Zikne, and therefore Zikei Necho is superfluous, available for a Joshua. It's not true. Because imi Zikne, hava mina Zikne Hashuk. We had this early on. Maybe any old Zakenim. Kosav Rachmana Zakenacha. It's got to be elders. So it can't just be any Talmud Chacham in the Shuk. It's got to be a Dayan on the Bezdin. But the Iksev Zakenacha, Havamina Sanhedrin Katana. Okay, it's got to be elders. But which elders? Rachmana Veshaiftecha Mimiyuchadin Shevashaiftecha. So all the words in the Pasuk, according to Reb Shimon, are all needed, otherwise I would have thought it's any Talmud Chacham, or even if it's got to be an elder, maybe any Bezdin. So it's got to have a pasuk telling me, no, it's got to be the Bezdin HaGadol. But there's no extra words, and therefore it's only Zakenim, which is two, and then you round it up to three. The Rabbi Yehuda, now we go back to Rabbi Yehuda. So why does Rabbi Yehuda maintain that there is an extra word? Rabbi Yehuda, Gomar, Zikne, Mibasamchu, Zikne, Ho'edo, Es Yedehem. Rabbi Yehuda says, I can learn based on Xerah Shava. Zikne, from elsewhere it says, Vesamchu, Zikne, Ho'edo, we're back to our smicha. Mala halon, just like over there, Miyuchodin, Sheba Edo, it's got to be the very unique ones in a congregation, Afkan, Miyuchodin, Sheba Ziknecho. So therefore, there really is a word spare, because once it says zikne, I don't need all these words, zikne, ziknecho, sheiftecho. I don't need all those words. I can learn it from Xerah Shava. One second. E alif la, if you're learning from Xerah Shava, leilaf kulam yehosam. So why don't you just learn everything from there? And why do I need to bechlal write the words zikinecho v'sheiftecho? Why would it not suffice simply write that Egla Rufa needs to be carried out by Zakenim and based on Xerah Shava to Smicha, so it means Zakenim on the Bezdin Agadol. Why do I need any words? Zakenecha v'shoiptecha lo molis. The Gemara says, yeah, you're quite right. Sorry, we back down. Elo, it's the Vav. V'shoiptecha l'minyano. The lashon of the pasuk was zakeinecho v'shoiftecho. There's an extra vav there, v'shoiftecho. That comes to tell you, that extra vav comes to tell you, you need an extra two. So it's two plus two. V'Reb Shimon vav loy darish. And Reb Shimon, it's as simple as that. We went backwards and forwards, but in the final analysis, it's very simple. Machloikas zakeinecho v'shoiftecho. So is that extra vav of v'shoiftecha available for a drasha? That's the machlekes. If you hold it is, it's an extra letter that teaches you you've got to have an extra two dayanim, so you're not just two, it's four, which is rounded up to five. Reb Shimon says, no, as far as I'm concerned, that extra vav is not available for a drasha, so it's simply two dayanim, and you round it up to three. Okay. Says the Gemara, so it turns out as follows. Again, what's the lashon of the pasuk? V'yotzu zakeinecho v'shoiftecho u'modedu, they'll go out and they'll measure. So everybody agrees that zakeinecho is plural. Everybody agrees to that. And if it's plural, it means you've got to have at least two. The only question is, do you also dashen v'shoiftecho? That's another two. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, yes, you do. Well, if that's the case, Reb Yehuda is looking at all the plural words in this pasuk. Zakeinecha, two. Sheiftecha, another two. Says the Gemara, excuse me, there's some other words in this pasuk which are written in the plural. What are they? Says the Gemara on the second bottom line, Elo Me'ato. Well, now, V'yotsu Shnayim. Don't forget, long before you get to the word Zakeinecho, it says in the pasuk V'yotsu. V'yotsu is also written in the plural. So why didn't you say that's another two? In fact, it also says at the end of that pasuk, umadadu, and they shall measure. Again, in a plural. Well, that's another two. So how many words have we got written in the plural altogether? Either four, according to Rabbi Yehuda, or according to Rabbi Shimon, Zakinecha and Sheftecha is all one phrase, but you've definitely got at least three words. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, Rabbi Yehuda, Hare Tisha. So we're up to nine. Why are we up to nine? Because I've got four words which are all in the plural, and that's eight. You've always got to round it up. And Rabbi Shimon, it should be Shiva. Because he says, as a Kinecha v'sheftecha is all one phrase. Okay, fine, granted. But you've still got the Yatsu, you've still got the Madadu. I've got lots of plural words in that pasuk. Why are those words being ignored? Every plural word should be another two dayanim. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, there should be four words. Four times two is eight, rounded up to nine. According to Rabbi Shimon, there's three words. Three times two is six, rounded up to seven. So it really should be nine or seven, not five or three. What happened to the words v'yatsu and v'modadu? And the answer is, both of those words are here to teach me different drushas. And if they're here to teach me a different drusha, well, I'm afraid to say they're not available for our drusha. And it's what the Gemara explains on the bottom line. Ahu mi boyale. These words are required to teach me two different halachas. Look at the Tanya, we have a braisa, v'yotsu, quote unquote, hein v'loi shlucham. V'yotsu means, and they shall go out. So we have a drasha, v'yotsu, they themselves have to go out, and they cannot send a shliach, they cannot send an agent. Which means, therefore, that the word v'yotsu is not available for our purposes for a drasha, because it's already booked up to teach you this other halacha of the Beis Din have to go v'yotsu, they must go out and not their shliach. Okay, what about umadadu and they must measure? Says the Gemara, umadadu, quote unquote. That's also used for a drasha. What's the drasha? Shafilu nimtza, turning over the page, Shafilu nimtza, ba'alil lo'ir, even if the dead body is lo'chayra, very clearly, alil means clear, it's clearly close to one town.
Sorry.
So what might you have thought? We might have thought that if it's very, very clearly, obviously close to one town, there's no need to go and measure it. Nonetheless, tzorich lasoik b'medida, you've still got to go out and measure it. And that's all learned from the word umadadu. Look at the top Rashi. Ba'alil ir b'mafursam lakoil, it's obvious to all. Shekarev hu le'ir zu, that the dead body is closest to this town, Mikol Ayoros, closer than any other town. So if it's overwhelmingly obvious, why on earth would you need to go and measure it? So for whatever reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decided, no, umadudu, you've still got to go out and make the formal measurement. It therefore turns out that both the words, the yotsu, and also umadudu are both booked up for a drasha. So which are the only words available? Zakeinecha and sheftecha. So it's either two or four, which gets rounded up, either two, three, or five. Okay, Bez Hashem will continue tomorrow. This Gemara is not hard, and therefore we went relatively quickly today.